When you know that there are things that might be costing you money in the background that you know you're not using, you don't think about it a lot, but it's there. You know that you're draining money for no reason. I think we all have some area in our financial life, there's like a cloud, and addressing that cloud just clears the air, literally and metaphorically, right? Where it's stress that you're allowing to exist in your life that you don't even really pay attention to, but it's hanging out and it's causing stress.
It's no secret that the coronavirus is affecting all of us as individuals, but the effect it's having on business, especially small business, is unprecedented. If we're going to survive this, we need resources and we need each other. We can't do it alone. I'm Jesse Torres, and this is Hack My Business. With my background in economic and workforce development, disaster preparedness, and general business strategy, I know I can help you navigate this scary time in your business and beyond. It's all about resiliency. We'll have invited experts to help us navigate through the current noisy landscape of resources and programs that are being made available today and who will be able to prepare us for tomorrow. Let's do this together. I'm Jesse Torres, and this is Hack My Business.
Hi, and welcome back to Hack My Business. This is Jesse Torres, creator and host of Hack My Business. Today, we're going to be doing something really special. I'm going to be joined today by my producer, the great Barcy, Christina Barcy, who's going to be with me. She herself is an entrepreneur. And given that this is a unique summertime, lots of things going on this summer relative to increasing costs, a lot of kind of change in the world, we thought we'd do a couple episodes and really talk about some tangible things you can do to protect, help your business. And I thought there's nobody better I can talk to about these issues than another fellow entrepreneur who I trust and really value. So let me go ahead and bring in Barcy. Barcy, welcome to Hack My Business.
Hi, Jesse. This is going to be fun, I think.
It's going to be fun. I don't know why you're laughing, because it is going to be fun. You know, it is always a pleasure to have you on the show instead of just listening to the show, which you do really effectively. And of course, I need to tell everyone that given just the busyness of the world right now, that I myself am right now in my shared co-working space, surrounded by fellow entrepreneurs. And so you might hear some of the excitement and kind of general rowdiness here going on. But Barcy, so great to have you on. And I don't think a lot of our listeners know that when it comes to entrepreneurship topics, one, you do help me curate the guest list, but you're also a mentor, someone that I respect when it comes to diving into entrepreneurship issues. So it's going to be great to talk to you about some of these specific things on the mind of many of our listeners.
Oh, thanks, Jesse. I have to reciprocate that and say that you're a mentor of mine as well. I've had so much fun growing further into my business ownership experience alongside you and watching how you do what you do and kind of going back and forth with ideas, because we do kind of different things, but we definitely intersect like in the space we're in now.
Definitely. Although our industry sectors are very different, and the type of work that we do, because you're helping people with audio content, podcasting, and I'm doing management consulting work. But a lot of our issues, what I think is really interesting, is that a lot of the issues that we face as entrepreneurs are very similar. In the past, we talked about things from like, how do you best use the virtual assistant? How do you think about getting rid of bad clients, right? All that kind of stuff. So although we operate in sometimes very different worlds, a lot of the issues that we confront are very, very similar. Isn't that fair to say?
100%, yes. And at the end of the day, entrepreneurship, I think at the core, it's like a human experience that you're having at the maximum, right? Like it's something that we're creating something. So I feel like anyone who decides to start a business is venturing into a creative process as well. And that's kind of the world I operate in. So it feels like tenfold to me to create these small processes within this bigger process of the business itself. But it all kind of works together. And I see you doing that in your day-to-day as well. And we do consulting over on our side too. So
yeah. It's all the same. Yeah.
It's all the same.
It's all the same. Yeah.
Yeah. I come to you with questions all the time, don't I?
Yeah.
About like, hey, Jesse, how do you create your pricing for this? What do you do when you create a pitch? And what do you do? Like, it's good to have someone to ask those questions.
I know we said this before, but it is really important for everyone to develop their own network of fellow entrepreneurs. Having community support is really important. There's one topic that has been top of mind for me, and I'm sure for many of our listeners, and that is how to best deal with increasing costs, managing cash flow. So we're recording this on June 30th, and tomorrow there's going to be an expected gas increase for all of us here in Californians, right? So increasing costs, the rising prices everywhere is definitely becoming front and center, a big concern for many. So, you know, what we thought we'd do today is really kind of dive into that and present some tips, suggestions of how you as a small business owner can best navigate through that. But Barcy, you know, I definitely want to give you a chance to talk first about what is the first big thing that people should think about as they think about rising costs.
We talked about this briefly, but my first thought is not to panic. Don't panic. And I want to say the other thing that came to mind is I feel like we've all become pivot experts in the last couple of years, even if we didn't want to become pivot experts. I feel like we may have a higher skill set now to deal with any kind of change that comes our way, because we've been exercising that muscle of what's my process now for this? Do I have a process for this? And if I don't know what it is, I have one, maybe I just need to identify it. And that puts you in a seat of control, right? You're in the driver's seat now of your experience.
Yeah, I think definitely even the pandemic has really taught us how to be humble, right? How to just know that things might change on the dime. Essentially, like what I feel like is always being in like a kind of a ready stance, ready for pretty much anything that could happen, you know, whether it's giant hornets, monkeypox, you know, pandemic resurging again, you know, Omicron 5 or whatever we're at right now. But above and beyond, to your point, is this idea of being calm about it, knowing that things are likely to change and being ready for that change to occur.
Right. Be observational. Allow yourself to observe and be curious about your experience and creative. When we have space to be curious, then we can be innovative and creative with how we want to deal with problems, right?
Absolutely. Beyond that, there are some very kind of tangible tactics that we can recommend to all of you entrepreneurs out there regarding cash flow. Why don't we just go ahead and dive right into that? So I would say the first tip of all you entrepreneurs, small business owners out there who might be freaking out a bit about rising costs, one of the most important things you can do is really keep accurate track of your financials. You know, if you're not using a spreadsheet, even a simple Excel document, or some kind of technology tool like QuickBooks to keep on track and really understand what your financial position is at any given moment in time, and also to give yourself the ability to look ahead of what expenses are going to hit you, it can be very difficult to do any kind of planning around, okay, navigating through a series of rising costs. So above and beyond, one of my first recommendations is this idea of keep your financials organized so that at a glance, you can get a good sense of where you are at the moment and what is likely to hit you next. Barcy, am I right about thinking that?
I think that's great. I think my first thought is, as someone who struggles in this area, in terms of staying on track, I've gotten better, but it's been a process. Which brings me to my question is, how do you get started if you're so behind in that? And now all of this is coming at you. Like, what do you do? What's the first thing you can do to try to organize that and have a clear picture of where you stand?
I've been in that place before where I've stopped tracking for, say, a month or a couple months. And I'm thinking, oh, shoot, I don't really know where things are at. So the first thing you could do is go to your, hopefully you have a business checking account, right? Simply downloading the current month's set of transactions, dropping that to Excel sheet, and starting from there where you can see, okay, what exact income do I have in hand? What is likely to come? And that's literally what I do. So in my Excel sheet that I use, and I do have QuickBooks, but I have an Excel sheet that helps me keep organized, I do month-to-month tracking. So I'll put in my current status based, like I'll do, say, a weekly draw of my transactions, and I'll add it to this Excel sheet. And then beyond that, I also add in my expected invoicing income and also my expected expenses for the remainder of the month. So I'm always kind of keeping it updated and tracking and doing my best to kind of stay on top of it. So again, just if you need a place to start, start with your current month, start with your current business checking account.
I love how simple that can be. I wrote that down so that I can try it because I do some version of this, but I could be better at being consistent with it because I think the consistency is really where you get more clarity, and it can be scary sometimes to look at these numbers. So again, coming back to my original point, don't freak out.
Don't freak out.
Yeah. Don't be scared. It's okay. It's information for you.
Totally. And I would say that that fear is very common. You're not alone in being afraid to think about your current position, especially when there is some uncertain about things coming together. But peace of mind is really important. Once you do it, you'll definitely achieve that peace of mind. At least that's what's worked for me. I would say a second great tip for all of you entrepreneurs out there is this idea of managing your bill payments strategically. If you have a business like mine where you're using different subcontractors or different types of services, there's likely a chance that, you know, certain vendors don't need to be paid on the same schedule. And often there's this thing, you might have heard it, it's called net 15, net 30, where in the terms of the subcontract you have, it is actually spelled out how late you can pay somebody. And that gives you a window by which you can decide, okay, when do you want payment to be issued out to a certain vendor? Like, for example, there's someone I use to help me with some of my marketing needs. She is under a net 30 contract, which means I have 30 days to pay her. I always like to do it with my own vendors is try to pay them as soon as I can. But if I needed to stretch it out, I know they have 30 days in which I can execute payment to that person. So one thing you can do is really just take a look at what are your current agreements that you have? What is your current situation with your vendors or your products and services that you use? And get an understanding of like, okay, what needs to be paid immediately, or what are those things that I can shift to later in the month, just to give yourself some space there around cash flow.
That's actually really good to know. I'm like you, I like to pay everyone sort of as they come in, but I do choose a certain day of the week where I focus on paying invoices, and they know that, and they know that that's the day they can expect payment, because we know what it's like to wait and wait and wait for an invoice to come in as someone who's independently employed, right? We employed ourselves. So I try to do that, but this is good to know if you're in a bind that legally you actually have this amount of time and to kind of map that out. I like this as almost like a map you can create with little bubbles, like a visual kind of helps me put
exactly
this into
right.
play. Yeah.
That's exactly what I even do with the Excel sheet, is that then I can see, okay, here are those things I need to absolutely put out by a certain date. I create my own financial map at that point. It's like, okay, how do I balance it out so I know I have enough cash at any given moment to cover any need I might have? But it's good to understand what your current agreements are. And exactly right. Like, what is the legal requirement by which you need to actually pay somebody? The next tip really kind of is looking at it from the other side, where how can you best accelerate payments to yourself? So I would say,
I like that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about that. So how do you do that? How do you maximize your cash intake, right? Well, one of it is understanding your own contracts with whoever you're doing business with, to know what are the parameters by which they can pay you. And even if you couldn't essentially accelerate payment, at least knowing when those payments are likely to drop based on that agreement that you have with them. But one thing that you can do to really kind of speed up the process is technology. I've really gotten the habit of asking clients to pay me electronically. So using Zelle or ACH wires, so that I don't have to wait around for a check. And I think, Barsi, that you tend to use the same kind of system, right? I mean, are you still receiving hard checks from people these days?
I have one consistent client that insists on checks because of their old school bookkeeper, who is the actual person who insists on checks. And one client that comes and goes, but she's been with me for a long time. So she insists on checks for her own technological inabilities, is kind of what it falls under. I'll share just a funny note about her. She didn't own a computer before she started doing work with us. She wanted to start a podcast. She had to buy herself a laptop just to do the project. So she's just very outside of that world. But yes, waiting around for checks makes me nervous because I feel like that can get lost in the mail. The question I have, though, that I run into, particularly with the last client I just mentioned, wants to pay with a credit card. And Zelle, I believe you cannot use a credit card with, right? Or there are fees that come with that that add to their purchase. So do you have any workarounds for that kind of a client? And also, what do you think about fees like PayPal and Stripe that add on for us as vendors?
Yeah, it's interesting you brought that up. I remember when I first started my company, I did look into that. I think I even set up a merchant card service with somebody. And literally, I don't really remember because I ended up not using it at all. But I have contractors that I use that only use Venmo or PayPal, right? Where you could essentially use a credit card to pay for them. So I think it's really just my recommendation is that there are many tools that allow you to do that. Square, Venmo, PayPal, et cetera. Just understand the fees that are associated with it. And also think about if you really need it, if that is the best approach versus using like a Zelle or an ACH, depending on the type of work you do. So a lot of it's just really understanding the different parameters of what are all these different tools and providers and what is the, I guess, the red tape or the micro print that you should really understand before you start using these tools.
Like you mentioned automating payments, right? So for example, my website offers this ability where I can invoice directly through that. I'm exploring setting that up currently. And a lot of these website-based ones use Stripe as a tool, which has, it's like a 3% fee or something like that that you take on each time. So I think this is the fine print you're speaking about where you kind of have to know, is it better to wait for the check or is it better to not have to worry about this side of things and just let it be taken care of automatically?
Exactly. And also, I know that something that's been done in the past is that some people use these tools thinking that that can be a way to kind of skirt, you know, to have it be seen as more as a personal expense or a personal contribution versus a business transaction. And just to be careful about that, because the IRS is definitely looking at that, you know, knowing that many people are using tools like Venmo, et cetera, to do business, and that they are now going to be requiring transparency around that and asking for more details. So if you're thinking that these tools are a way to kind of get around that, that is not recommended.
That's a great point to make, that those things can get flagged for that. I do see more of that with Venmo and Square.
Yeah. I would say the other recommendations that's also tied to that idea around accelerating cash intake is this idea of staying on top of invoicing. And this is something I struggle with. I'm my worst operations manager where I'll just wait. I'll be late in submitting an invoice. You know, it'll be the end of the month and I'm tired, done a whole bunch of client work in the previous month and I just want to take a break. And then so I'll wait a few days to put together the invoice and then I'll shoot it off. And next thing I know, it's the middle of the month. And then I got to wait because for me, usually the payments are done on say 30 days. So now I've created my own pain point.
Yeah.
So a recommendation is to, right, carve out a day, carve out time to just do it because that is the one thing that you directly control. So just make sure that you stay up on top of your own invoicing. But it sounds like you've gone through similar things, which makes me feel good.
I have to send you an invoice, Jesse.
See, exactly. Exactly. Just wait. Wait on it.
It's on my list. I know. And
yeah.
And I did wait and here we are. But you're right. I have one. So note to self, send Jesse an invoice when we're done with this recording. But to your point about I have one client particularly, actually two, but one that's on this like rotation of, oh, I sent it a week late this month. And now next month it's a week late again. And I slowly try to, it takes months to get back on track because I keep backing it up by like just a couple of days. So it doesn't feel like she's getting invoiced back to back. Because I'm sensitive to that as well. I don't want her to feel like, whoa, what's going on? Why do I have two invoices in a 2 week period or something like that? So it's a strange thing that unfortunately timing has a part in catching up on doing that properly.
Yeah. And I've even done even worse things of combining months together because I've been so late in invoicing, which is just ridiculous when you think about it.
I've never done that. I feel like I work too closely with my clients. It's personal. I don't want them to feel slighted by me just suddenly asking them for a huge lump sum of money.
Right, right. I mean, the other thing is that there are now tools like QuickBooks, they automate it for you. You know, I prefer to do my own invoicing outside of those types of systems, but there are great tools that exist that make invoicing really, really easy. Often common CRMs, you know, Zoho, others, they also provide invoicing. So there's ways to automate that process too. So above me, y'all, just stay on top of your invoicing people because that is one easy thing you can do to just make sure your income is coming in. And, you know, for me, I think the last tip that I wanted to share is the general thought around cutting costs, right? And I know it can be very difficult to do that work, that analysis of really determining what is essential to your business. But in a time of rising prices where you need to make some hard choices, now's a good time to do an audit. You know, do you really need access to that new source? Do you really need to have that subscription? Are you using Photoshop the way you thought you were going to be using Photoshop? Or is there other things that you can be using that are much more cost effective? So now is a good time to really do that audit and have a conversation with yourself and say, is this critical to my essential business process? And if it isn't, maybe it goes on hiatus. Maybe you let go of it. But I think one important thing you can do is to do that determination for yourself or your business about, is this cost meaningful to my business? Marcy, do you do that kind of audit of costs?
Definitely. I've been focusing a lot on these types of more practical organizational aspects for the last, I'd say, 8 months or so. And it's been, number one, like a huge stress reliever. Just once you get everything kind of sorted, slowly you become less burdened by all of these things. I will also say, again, on the mental health side of things, when you know that there are things that might be costing you money in the background that you know you're not using. You don't think about it a lot. The thought doesn't even completely form, but it's there and it's just back there. And you know that you're draining money for no reason. I think we all have some area in our financial life or something like that. There's like a cloud, and addressing that cloud just clears the air, literally and metaphorically, right? Where it's stress that you're allowing to exist in your life that you don't even really pay attention to, but it's hanging out and it's causing stress, especially during times like this where we're tightening the stress nozzle or whatever, the lever, when things get all crazy like they are now. I do think there's a lot of power in kind of assessing where things are going. Are they useful to you? Can you even just switch companies in some areas that offers a better value? I do have one more point I'd love to bring up as far as a solution or a tip or something we can try, and that is increasing revenue. Where can we increase revenue? How can we bring more money in and not subscribe to this, like, oh, well, if I'm feeling like there isn't enough, then other people are not going to want to pay for anything. And that's not necessarily true. I've been kind of finding ways to offer extra services or different services to my existing clients. They're small things. There are little boosts that I can add across the board. And now maybe I added an extra $1,000 to my revenue monthly, or referrals too, like within the networks. Who else needs this extra thing that we're offering you? And usually there's at least one person that will need that or take you up on some extra services.
That sounds like a whole new mini episode to talk about maybe next. Oh. Finding business development opportunities, increasing your sales.
Yeah.
But yeah, I totally agree. Increasing revenue is always a great way to let go of the stress of cash flow. If you have more coming in, things get a whole lot less stressful.
It feels better too.
Absolutely. Easy tips for managing cash flow. Just to do a quick recap, don't panic. The best thing you can do is stay calm and try some of these tactics, including keeping strong financials, whether using technology or spreadsheets to do it. Managing and keeping an eye on your current financial position is always really important. Manage your bill payments strategically. Use technology if you can to receive payments faster, especially if your clients will allow for it. Thinking about cutting costs is always really important, doing either an annual audit of current expenses and determining what is really important to your essential business processes. And then, of course, staying on top of invoicing is also really important. And then to Barcy's last point, finding new ways to increase your revenue, also a great way to manage your cash flow. So there you have it. Easy summer tips for managing your cash flow. Barcy, always good to have a conversation with you about small business.
I would agree. I love talking to you. It's so much fun. And thank you for having me on.
See you next time.
If you need help and want to be a part of our community and find resources to grow your business, join us at our website at smallbusinessfront.com. We'd love to see you there. Have a great day, and we'll catch you next time on Hack My Business.